Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for Fantasy Baseball, Dynasty Style. The Dynasty Baseball Show is your home for prospect analysis, farm system reviews, keeper leagues, and more, starring Ron Rigney, Brian Vaughn, and, well, me, your host, Van Lee.
Hey folks, it's Van Lee here, and hoo boy, it has been quite the last couple of weeks. Actually, it's been about a month and a half, just a nightmarish month and a half. Long story short, and we'll get into the episode, I have a stalker. I'm not important enough to have a stalker, but apparently I have one. Someone out there, and I think I know who it is, has reported my shows, including this one, the Nasty Cast, the Dynasty Baseball Show, Launch Angle, BoobTube Boys, everything on the network for all kinds of things. And ultimately, I've had nothing but troubles. I wasn't able to publish this episode. We actually recorded it last week, like almost 8 days ago. So it's a lot of older content, but still important fantasy relevant stuff. So stay tuned for that. I apologize for the delay. I think we're past this. Hopefully you don't have to worry about this anymore. Maybe this lunatic has found something else to distract him. Either way, it's just been an annoying couple of weeks. So I apologize for the delay, but we're back. We should be good to go. And we hope you guys are ready to talk some baseball. So let's bring on Ron and Brian and do just that. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Dynasty Baseball Show. I'm your host, Van Lee, and I'm joined live and in studio by Brian Vaughn. Welcome to the show.
Oh, it is very good to be here in the Butu Inc. studios talking baseball because there's going to be baseball.
That's right. In fact, I invited you here today specifically in person to help me move a couch. Now, had I invited Ron Rigney, also on the show, to move the couch, I would have just had him do it because
he's huge. Yeah, neither of us would have been necessary.
No. So welcome, Ron.
You guys could have sat on the couch even.
Yeah, and then you could bench it into the garage. It's perfect.
What do you call those things that you get carried around on?
Muscles.
While people, you know, like a couch that multiple people carry you in
litter?
The air on, and then they palm frond you.
I think it's like a litter.
I think that's
what they said in the Boba Fett show.
I keep thinking of a rickshaw, but that's not what you're talking about.
No,
it'd be a bigger one. It's like emperors would have their slaves do it.
Yeah, what I'm saying is I'm the emperor of this podcast, and I would like to be carried on a couch in the air.
And you're as handsome as Emperor Palpatine.
Didn't Macho King Randy Savage get carried to a WrestleMania on one of those?
He sure did. Ron, thank you for an even better example.
Yeah. Also, Triple H did that one time when he had like the Sauron mask.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Yes.
That was pretty cool.
That's true, Oh, yeah.
So there you go. We're going to be talking baseball on today's show, believe it or not. We'll be discussing the Rockies, the Colorado Rockies. What a system. More on their major league team
not
on the Nasty
the
Cast.
System. That Randy Savage was drafted to either.
Reds, I think
the Reds. Yeah.
I think so, yeah. And then we'll also be talking the Toronto Blue Jays top prospects as well. So a couple of interesting systems here. Certainly one a little bit better than the other, but there are still some interesting names on both sides. So we'll have the top six prospects in each system on this show. And then if you want to hear a couple more, join us on Patreon, patreon.com/ButuInc, where for just a couple bucks a month or more, you get access to all kinds of bonus content, including several more prospects from today's show.
Yeah,
don't miss that.
You also can access all the previous content, so you'll get the extra prospects from every organization.
Every single one we've covered. You know what? Let's do this at the beginning of the show, guys. Let's figure out what system we want to cover next week.
Sure.
So, right,
this is a new way
Brian,
to do it.
We have my big board. I haven't marked the two we did today. Looking at it, I would say let's go with the AL East again. So let's get one more out of there. So we have the Orioles, we have the Yankees, and we have the Red Sox. Any preference for me?
Tell you what, let's talk about those Baltimore Orioles.
Orioles it is.
We get some Adley Rutschman talk in just in case he starts the season at the major league level. He won't.
He won't because he's hurt.
But that's okay. So there you go. You
heard and he probably first. Wouldn't have anyway, no. But he's hurt just like everyone's hurt. But that's for the Nasty Cast.
Indeed. So check out the Nasty Cast, our sister podcast where we discuss redraft league stuff. We'll be talking all of the free agent and trades and all kinds of the stuff that has just barreled down the pipeline because it has been insane since the CBA was signed. But lots of stuff to cover there, lots of stuff to cover here. So let's get right into it. Let's talk Rockies first, guys. And overall, how do you guys feel about this system? Ron, we'll start with you. There's obviously some big names at the top, albeit some risky ones. Overall, what do you think?
Well, I think when we tell you ahead of time we're covering two different systems, you know that they're going to be towards the bottom of the barrel. But I will say, I feel like that after I dug into the system a little bit, it was a little better than what I had expected. But I feel like that, and with them playing, you know, their home games in Coors, they're going to draft guys that are going to suit that type of environment. There's a lot of sluggers here that strike out a lot. There's a couple of kind of athletic outfielder types that are kind of high risk, high reward. But there's really, to me, there's not a lot of sure things in this system. I think the guy at the top is probably about the closest that we're going to get. But there are a couple of intriguing names as you go down a little bit further. But overall, a little better than what I thought it was going to be.
I think that's pretty much how I feel about it, too. It's not a very good system. And outside of the number one guy, like Ron said, I don't know that you can comfortably say, I guarantee this player becomes a starting major leaguer. It's really hard to do that. Even though there are, you know, guys with some really big upsides, there's not a lot of certainty in the Rockies organization.
That's very true. And even with that number one player being, you know, someone you can say this will be a major leaguer, the question is going to be how good because of the hit tool. So I'll get right into that now. Zach Veen is the number one prospect in the system, and Veen is a fantasy darling. He was drafted by the Rockies with the 9th overall pick in the 2020 draft, and again, very risky profile, but a profile that does feature some awesome upside. He is 6'4", 190, and he bats left and features 70 grade raw power and 60 grade speed. And you guessed it, the big flaw? Questionable hit tool. Veen made his debut last year in A-ball and put up some big numbers, but also showed why he's a risky bet. He had a total of 479 plate appearances and slashed .301, .399, .501, 15 home runs, 36 stolen bases. And if you're just looking at those numbers, then you're super impressed. That's awesome. But if you dig a little deeper, we can see that there's some cause for concern. First off, he had a .396 BABIP, which let's say we take 60 points off that, which still leaves him with a healthy .336 BABIP. That'll be 40 to 60 points on the batting average, which would put him in the mid to low 200s. Now, he did walk quite a bit. He had a 13.4% walk rate, but he also struck out an awful lot, too, for a 20-year-old in A-ball, 26.3% K rate. And while those 36 stolen bases do look really nice, he was caught a whopping 17 times on the base paths. That puts him at a 67% success rate.
Who is he, like Otis Nixon, just running every time he's on?
That's a really bad success rate, and that's not going to fly in the majors. So unless he gets a little cleaner with that, maybe he won't run as much as we initially thought. Now, that minors line is also so indicative of what he could be because of the power, because of the steals. He's got the potential to go 30-30 in a season, if not more, but he also has the potential to strike out 30% of the time and be like a quad A kind of player. I think ultimately the talent's going to win out and he's going to be a good fantasy asset. But if you're rostering Veen, you need to understand that he could totally just Lewis Brinson all over this and become absolutely nothing. I don't think that'll be the case, but there is a percent chance that could happen. So really cool player. I think he was 70th on Eric Cross's prospect list. Maybe he's higher than that. I can't remember. But someone who's firmly in the top 100 on lists and someone
pretty
who's
deserving
of a pick. Yeah, yeah. Super cool talent and skills. The next guy on this list, number two, is Benny Montgomery Brian, who is pretty much Zach Veen 2.0. A little bit younger, maybe a little riskier, but tell us about him.
Yeah, Benny Montgomery. And his name even sounds like it because his name's Benny.
It sounds like Rich Uncle Pennybags from Monopoly.
He's kind of like Zach Veen Jr., like a little baby version. He's only 18, still a little shy of his 19th birthday. And like Veen, he's super projectable. He's a center fielder who's 6'3", 185, right-handed hitter. And very similarly to Veen, you can see the raw tools that you want to see here. With Montgomery, he has 70 grade speed per Fangraphs ratings. A very good throwing arm. He projects to be a good corner outfielder. All the things you want there. But like Veen, we need to know if the hit tool is going to be there. And perhaps unlike Veen, he still needs to mature into a little bit more power, too. Although scouts do think it'll come eventually. He was drafted last season out of high school, so we haven't really gotten a good look at Benny Montgomery yet. He's only played complex ball. The stats there are always questionable. And the big thing with Montgomery when it comes to comparing him to Veen, which is inevitable, same organization, same position, same basic skill set, is he doesn't have like the sweet smoothness that Zach Veen has in his game. The swing is kind of weird. The mechanics are a little off. And those might be causing him to struggle getting to his power down the road or hitting for average. So for Montgomery, I think it's going to be a longer road than it is for Veen. And I have a lot less certainty that he gets there. I think it's more likely that that Montgomery turns into some sort of like, you know, outfielder. Like, we thought of Jock Peterson coming up a little bit, like with some power, some speed. And then sometimes the net of the package just results in not what you quite had hoped for. And I mean, we could always certainly see improvements and quickly with somebody with the athletic skills Montgomery has. But, you know, we need to see it in pro ball, not just in the complex league. And I think scouts would like to see the mechanics get cleaned up a little.
Yeah, I totally agree with all of that. Jock Peterson's a great comp. I think that's a really good one. And it didn't quite pan out with Peterson. I mean, he had a major league career.
Yeah, certainly.
And still is playing, but never signed really reached heights we wanted. Yeah, exactly. So an interesting player I wanted to point out in the prestigious Dynasty Baseball League, we, of course, had our first-year player draft this year, which involves free agent signees from international free agent signees, I should say, as well as players in the draft. Benny Montgomery went with the 8th pick in our draft, and I think that's about right. I mean, there's a lot of upside to be found here, but also, again, a lot of risk. So somewhere in that range is fine if you're doing a first-year player draft this year. All right, Benny Montgomery at number 2. Number 3, we have Eleuherus Montero, Ron. I hope I got that right. That's an interesting name. I like it. But tell us about this guy, the number 3 prospect in the system.
Well, we're going to go with that because I'm not even going to attempt it. So Montero's EM is a strapping 6'3", 235-pound, 23-year-old lad. He's been in the minors since age 16, where he was an international signing originally in the Cardinals system, was acquired in the big trade that sent Nolan Arenado to St. Louis. And kind of like what I was saying at the top of the show, this guy profiles as a guy you would want in that Coors format. You know, he's a powerful corner guy. He's listed as a first baseman and a third baseman still. We'll get to the defense here in a second. But he was a guy that throughout the minors, he showed a lot of swing and miss in his game, especially in Double-A. And he's kind of harnessed a lot of that ever since then. And so scouts were kind of down on him at coming out of that 2019 season. But last year, he walked more, struck out less, which is exactly what you want to see. And between the two levels, hit 28 homers. Not going to give you any speed here, but you're not really drafting him for that reason either. But at Triple-A, had 121 plate appearances, slash 278, 355, 546, with a 16.5% K rate, 8.3%. walk rate. So there's a lot to like here as far as his offensive profile. You know, you keep going back to the fact that he's going to be hitting in a nice ballpark, but he's probably going to ultimately end up as a first baseman. When you look at a guy that grades out with a 60 grade arm and 45 grade fielding ability, that doesn't say too much about his ability to be able to stick at third. So he is going to end up moving to first. But the problem is, as we go down this list, there's a couple of guys that could end up staying at first as well. So they might have some guys that they could maybe move out. You know, who knows? Montero could be a guy that they could maybe use as a trade chip as well. But I think from a fantasy standpoint, after him really turning it around last season, he'll start out at Triple-A. This could be a guy that we could see come up this season for whatever reason. Like I said, he's been in the minors for 7 years. If he shows that the K rate and the walk rate are real and he keeps making solid contact, there's no reason to keep him down there. So they'll find a place for him. Plus, you know, now that we have the National League DH, that helps his chances a little bit as well, because he also does profile there very well also. But like I said, the Rockies, just across the board as an organization, we talked about this, there's not a lot blocking him there. And I think it's a guy that, you know, if you have him, which most likely in most dynasties he's already owned, he's going to be a nice little power prospect for you and give your lineup a nice little boost when he does come up. But only thing is, kind of pigeonholes into first base, but you know, we've talked many, many times on here the last couple of years on how that first base at, or that power at first base has seemed to dry up over the last couple of years. And he's going to be a nice little guy to kind of remedy that for you.
Yeah, and this is an organization also where you look at it and you're like, well, I'm glad the National League has a DH now.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. That benefits a lot of these guys because there are quite a few, even just in this top six, just corner power guys.
Yeah.
And trust me, there's even more if you go deeper into the system.
Speaking of which, I wonder who our next player is.
Oh, it might just be the number four prospect on this list, Michael Toglia.
And what kind of player is he?
He's a corner power prospect. So yet another prospect in this system who has a lot of raw talent but an extremely sketchy hit tool. Toglia was drafted in the 2019 amateur draft with the 23rd overall pick by the Rockies, and he has 60-grade raw power, which he did display last year, and a 35-grade hit tool that he also put on display last year.
Showed it off.
Across high A and double A, Toglia slashed .228, .333, .445 with 22 home runs and a surprising 10 stolen bases. Now, obviously, the stolen bases or the power is what excites you as Toglia as a prospect, but on the negative side of things, struck out 27.6% of the time in high A, and then when they made the move to double A, that number rose to 30.2% of the time. For Toglia to succeed, he absolutely has to stop striking out so much. Good news is he does walk quite a bit. He has a walk percentage over 13% across the two levels last year. He is a switch hitter and largely looks like he will remain one in his career. Oftentimes when we see them in the minors, if they really struggle with one side now, they just stop. We have players quit doing that. You just don't see many switch hitters anymore. Sean Figgins, ultimate
switch
hitter.
You have to actually be good at both sides now.
Turns out, yes. So I think he will remain switch hitting throughout his career. Defensively, he's nothing more than a first baseman, which obviously does limit his potential, but he's not so bad defensively that he would be relegated strictly to DH, so I guess that's a little bit of a perk. Overall, I think if you squint hard enough, you can see a path of success here with Toglia. However, I'm not really sure that's ever going to happen. He's fourth on this prospect list, and I guess I should have said this. I took these from Prospects 1500. Great guys over there. Go support them. Check out their stuff. But he's a little high on this list for my taste, and a lot of other places really have him low. For example, on the FanGraphs site, his rank is 28th. So, I mean, that's a little bit of difference from 4th to 28th. And I think the fact that he hit under .230 across high A and double A as a 22-year-old kind of speaks volumes to what you've got here. I think you're better off looking elsewhere. But that said, I mean, he does have the raw potential. So if he ever makes a swing change or coaching works out and something gets tweaked, then if he can make contact and hit .250, he'll be valuable.
Yeah.
I just don't know that that's going to happen. So not really an exciting player, but someone that you could take a flyer on for sure. That's the number four, Michael Toglia. Number five on the list, Ryan Velade. Brian, tell us about him.
Sure. Well, Ryan Velade has been a minor league baseball player for about 100 years now.
He was
taken in the second round in 2017. I would have guessed 2015 or 16, maybe. He is also out of Stillwater, Oklahoma, the same town that Matt Holliday is from.
Interesting.
Kind of weird because Rockies connection there. At one time, Velade, when he was drafted and then slightly thereafter, I think a lot of us thought he could be a middle infielder who offered a little bit of a bat for average and power.
To be honest, it felt a little bit like Ryan McMahon again.
Yeah.
But not quite now.
No. But same sort of potential, I think. And as it turned out with Velade, the bat just isn't that sort of bat, and he can no longer play the middle infield. He did finally get promoted to the high minors last year. He held his own in AAA despite not really hitting for any power, then wound up in three major league games near the end of the season. And with no ability to play up the middle anymore, Velade's pretty much been turned into a left fielder. And that means you're going to need to hit a lot to be a starter. Velade hit seven homers in AAA last year. I don't think he's a guy who, even in a full season, is going to clear much more than about 15. I think the big strength is he's a guy who could hit for enough contact that he's reliable. And because of that, I think we're looking at, instead of a starter now, maybe more of a bench bat, a reliable guy who can play the corners, get you 250, 300 plate appearances a year. But as such, the shine's really come off him for me as a fantasy prospect.
I think that's totally fair. Him and Toglia both, they just haven't quite done what we kind of hope they could do. And I'll mention this in the bonus show. I forget who I'll be talking about, but essentially, we've kind of found out, Raimel Tapia is a great example. in Colorado, if you've got a guy who makes good contact, it doesn't necessarily translate to awesome big league results like we might hope. You might think, oh, well, suddenly he'll be able to hit 15 home runs. It sometimes just doesn't happen. So that kind of hurts Velade as well in that regard.
I mean, but, you still have to that's the thing about all of this is you still have to hit the ball well.
Yes, exactly. All right, that was the number five, Ryan Velade. Let's go ahead and take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll round out the Rockies prospects and talk Blue Jays.
Barbra Streisand. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Van Lee alongside Brian Vaughn and Ron Rigney, and we're finishing up the Rockies prospects here with the number six name on this list. It's Brenton Doyle, Ron. And sure, it sounds like an elderly man, but I don't think it would be. Tell us about him.
No, he is definitely not. He is a 23-year-old toolsy outfielder, kind of your poor man's Zach Veen or Benny Montgomery, I would guess, a small school guy that they drafted in 2019 all the way down in the fourth round out of Division II Shepherd University, the home of the Fighting Rams, whose their mascot is JC the Ram. Just looked that up a little bit ago. I educated myself on the Shepherd University mascot there. So
he's a real savior based on those initials.
Wow. Well done.
Definitely. Well done. Well, yeah, well played, sir.
That or he's a college that isn't a senior one.
Ooh.
Oh, very nice.
Or one of the members of NSYNC. Shazay.
Great. Keep it going.
I'll just wait for the next one.
That's all I got.
Okay. So 6'3", 200. And this is a guy that you're going to be able to get much cheaper. And he's one of the guys that I like in this system for that reason, because he might have the same, you know, he doesn't have as loud of tools as Zach Veen and Benny Montgomery, but he's pretty close. And he can hit for power. He dominated it at the Division II level. 55 grade power, 60 grade speed. And he's a guy that we need to see him improve his batting eye a little bit. Last season at high A, had a lot of offensive numbers you like, 16 homers and 21 steals and 424 plate appearances, 279, 336, 454. But the problem was he struck out almost 32% of the time. So he had a 388 BABIP that kind of propped all those numbers up. We don't want to see those kind of K rates, especially all the way down at A ball. So we'll see where he progresses this season. He might start out at double A, as we always talk about that kind of being the test. So we'll see that. But it's something where his defense will probably get him to the majors a little bit quicker than the bat will, with the speed that he has. They believe he can stick at center, but also he does have one of the stronger arms in the system, and they think he profiles well as a corner outfielder as well. He could be a guy that you could see as a fourth outfielder that maybe spells everybody and sees enough playing time to be useful. But like I said, excellent defense, just needs to cut down on the K's a little bit more, but he has pop, he has speed, he's super athletic. He's able to make contact pretty easily. And, you know, all that, if all that kind of breaks right, they could have really gotten a nice bargain here in the fourth round.
Definitely a risky profile, but someone that could really work out, which, I mean, that's copy paste the Rocky system at this point. And that rounds it out. Top six prospects there. Once again, if you want to hear more, check us out on patreon.com/Boutou Inc. You can get a couple more there. But we're going to shift to the Toronto Blue Jays system now. And I'll be leading off. But first, let's actually talk the whole system. I think the Rockies are certainly a better farm system at this point. They have a little bit more upside. But that said, there's still some upside players in the Toronto Blue Jays system. I think they're at least on the Prospect 1500s list, kind of bottom 10 system, something like that. They're not a great one, but ultimately there are some interesting names. Like I said, what do you think about this one, Brian? It's mostly just because we've had some promotions over the last few years. So do you think they're going to be restocking soon? Is this a trend we're going to see? What do you expect?
I think Toronto right now is in total win now mode, and there are rumors that they're going further in that direction that are super interesting. And it, like you said, Van, they've promoted a lot of guys. They've also traded a lot of guys in the Berríos trade last year was an example with Austin Martin going in that one. And I really think, while this is not the best their farm system has looked, I like it a lot more in real life than I do for fantasy. They do have a lot of potentially useful cogs here, whereas the Rockies have more of a boom or bust type situation. And obviously, the higher end of the J system is a little more impressive in total. But, yeah, like the Rockies, this is not one of the better farm systems in baseball by any stretch of the imagination.
Not a lot to add to that, and we'll talk about some of the moves that the Jays made when we talk about all the things going on in the Nasty Cast, so I won't get into that too much. But what I will say is, to hit on your point about this being a better real-life system than fantasy, Brian, is the fact that I think a lot of these guys are going to be nice complementary pieces to that lights-out lineup that they have at the major league level. And when you, and two, a guy that I think that we'll talk about here that we've all kind of forgotten about, you know, with the things that they've done with their rotation, Nate Pearson's still down here, kind of middling in the middle of this list, and he still has the potential to be a front-end starter as well. So they do have a couple guys here that I think they can get some decent stuff out of, but these are some guys that could be some bench bats and just kind of be sprinkled in the lineup in between some of those big boppers. And I think that, you know, like you said, Brian, it's kind of the example when we say better in real life than in fantasy.
And there's no greater example of that than the number one prospect in the system,
yes,
Gabriel Moreno. Now, Moreno is the new number one, after the trades and promotions. He was signed in the 2016 international free agent class as an infielder that the Jays immediately converted to catcher. Now, his best asset is his hit tool, and it's a good one. Currently grades out at 60 on the 20 to 80 scale. He is 5'11", 180 pounds, so Moreno isn't exactly brimming with power. But last year, he did manage to hit quite a few home runs when he accrued 155 plate appearances across AA and AAA. He had 8 homers in that span, and he slashed 367, 434, 626. Now, defensively, he's maybe a tad better than average, and his arm isn't much to write home about either, but it's good enough to remain at catcher for the long-term future. The Jays do really just kind of seem thrilled with what he brings at the position. The good here is that he truly is a good bat-to-ball hitter, and I think he'll likely manage to hit for a good average no matter what. I don't know if we see any 300-plus seasons, but 280 seems really reasonable, and that is awesome for a catcher in this day and age. In addition to that, he is fairly fleet of foot for a catcher. He might be a guy who could steal 5 to 10 bases in a season, and that's obviously also a big boost out of that spot. Now, negatively, the power output from last year, which, by the way, would translate to 33 home runs across a full 650 plate appearance season, that is not real. We've talked a lot this offseason about being skeptical of the high minors' power numbers, and this is an example of that. Moreno certainly improved in the power department from where he was in previous years, and you can't discount that, but I would expect home run totals to maybe be in the teens across a full season. And again, defensively, he isn't that special, so I don't think they're really going to have him in the lineup solely for his glove. And then lastly, even though he does have a great bat-to-ball skills, he does so at the expense of taking a pitch, so his walk rates are going to be really low, which kind of makes his profile really risky. You know, we tend not to like those guys on this show. Overall, I'm not really that psyched about Moreno in fantasy, although I do understand why people like him. I think the power output isn't going to be enough to make him a really valuable asset, barring an approach change. But I also don't think that he should do that either, because his contact is going to be what separates him from the competition. So maybe if suddenly he bulks up and starts hitting for more power but doesn't lose the bat-to-ball stuff, he'll be a super valuable catcher in the major leagues. But as it stands, I think he's just going to be a useful one.
Yeah, and I could also see him being a valuable fantasy catcher. It's just that is...
The bar's so low.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm really skeptical of these, and he's dissimilar in every other way. But like you said about the walks, like Tim Anderson types who need to hit 330 to have an OBP, those scare me, especially if they're catcher foot speed.
Yeah, certainly. All right, that is Gabriel Moreno at number one. Number two on this list, Brian, is Orelvis Martinez. So who would you rather have, Gabriel Moreno or Elvis?
Orelvis the pelvis, Martinez. You know what? I'm not sure, because there are definitely flaws you can point to in both games. With Orelvis, he's a third baseman, and here's some things about him. He's not super fast, mediocre defender. I don't know that he's going to hit for very much average, and I don't think he has, right now, a super great approach at the plate.
Wow, you just sold me on him.
Yep. Now, this is a guy who is a universal top 100 prospect, pretty much, and That's because the guy has a lot of power. He hit 28 home runs last year across two levels. His strikeouts went down as the year went on, and he's still only 20. He signed in 2018. He's been learning a lot ever since. And scouts have said a lot about his adaptability and his actual athleticism. Even though he's not that quick, he is a pure athlete. He's learning quickly and taking to the changes suggested. And I think stuff like that has helped him move up the list that we're seeing, as much as the power he's shown. And I think he's a prospect who, at this juncture, I could see next year being a top 20 guy, like really improving, getting enough bat to ball skills to make the most of his power. I could also see him backing out of the top 100 if he struggles in the high minors. But there's a lot to like, even if he's not a slam dunk. I think the most likely outcome is he's a guy who winds up a very dependable offensive fantasy third baseman. I think there's a chance for more, but that's kind of where I see him right now.
He's definitely a player that I want to see what he can do in double A.
Yes.
Because if the batting average just tanks, then it's like, okay, let's back away from this guy. Not that interested. But if he can hold his own and hit 270, 260,
yeah,
then great.
If he does that at 20 at double A, I think we'll all be thrilled.
Absolutely, for sure. Orelvis Martinez, number two. Number three on the list, Ron, is Jordan Groshans. And tell us about this guy.
And why are his hands so gross?
2018 first rounder, plays a little bit of third base, a little bit of shortstop, really solid hitter across the board. Doesn't really have anything that really jumps off the page, but I think he's kind of the epitome of one of these guys that's going to be able to kind of assimilate into this lineup and be useful, but not really need to be a guy that they'll have to count on a whole lot. Guy makes solid contact, hasn't shown a ton of power just yet, but he missed almost all of 2019 due to injury. Started to look really solid at the beginning of that season. Of course, everybody lost 2020. So he finally got back on track in 2021 and hasn't shown a ton of pop. So scouts are hoping he shows a little bit more than that. But solid hitter at every level, doesn't strike out a ton. With his defense, he's probably going to outgrow short. He's good there. He's not great. But it seems like his arm and his defensive ability seems a little bit better suited for third base. So yet again, another guy that, you know, they don't necessarily need to have right now. And so it's kind of a nice thing, nice kind of backup plan to have at the AAA level. And overall, just a solid guy. I don't know if he's going to be much in fantasy circles, but it could be somebody that, you know, if they get enough at bats, they could post a nice average, decent OBP, hit you a few homers. But I don't think I think we're far from having a fantasy stud here, but definitely a guy that's going to be useful for the Blue Jays coming up.
Not what we thought he was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I liked him 2 years ago, but he simply has not touched any power. So that's kind of, I don't know, made me back off a little bit. The batting average potential is still there. And I think that means that there is a chance it sure could turn into something. So I still like him a little bit, but the fire has certainly faded a slight bit on him. Jordan Groshans, number three in the system. Number four in this system is no longer Gunnar Hoglund. And the reason I said that is because they just traded him away. They traded him to the Athletics, of course, in the big who did they trade for? I just blanked.
He sounds like he should be traded to the Air Force.
No, seriously, who did they trade?
Matt Chapman.
The Chapman trade, that's what it was. I knew it was one of the Matts. I couldn't remember.
I was totally blanking on it, too.
Well, anyway, they traded him there. We already covered the Athletics, so I figure I'd go ahead and talk about him here anyway. So Hoglund was taken by the Blue Jays in the 2021 draft out of Ole Miss with the 19th overall pick. He's a big old starting pitcher, 6'4", 220, and he features a fastball that was in the low 90s for most of his college career, but ticked up into the mid-90s in the fall prior to being drafted. He has a hard slider in the mid-80s and a solid low 80s changeup as well. Occasionally, he does throw a get-me-over curve that he likely won't use very often, but is a different look pitch that he can use. Now, the big thing with him was his excellent command. In his three seasons for Ole Miss, he walked just 25 hitters total, which is good for a 1.83 walk per nine. Basically, he doesn't have an elite arsenal, but he does have a good one, and he commands it really well. This all means he could shape up to be a good mid-rotation piece if that velocity gain holds. Now, the other thing working against him is that towards the end of 2021, he started having elbow issues and ultimately wound up having Tommy John surgery. So he'll be missing this entire season. So because of that, he's a tad risky, as well as including the unknown velocity, if whether or not that's for real, that continues to make him risky. But he is a good candidate to be a solid major league pitcher. And since he's so advanced, even with the Tommy John surgery, he could be one of the first players from that draft class
to reach the majors. So that's Gunnar Hoglund, of course, now with the Oakland Athletics system. So I'll give you one more, and that is Miguel Giraldo. And this means he is the, let's see, 10th best prospect in the system, because I just took the next one from the list that we're covering. Giraldo was signed in the 2017 international free agency period for $750,000 out of the Dominican Republic as a shortstop. Now, he hit the ground running. He put up really good numbers in rookie ball in his pro season in 2018, stole 18 bases and 279 plate appearances, hit around 300. And it has not been as good for him since, however. Last year, for example, in 453 plate appearances in rookie ball, he hit just 249, 338, 390 with 7 homers and 29 stolen bases. Overall, that line kind of points to what kind of player he is, which is a fast one, but one without much power or upside across the board. I think he really grades out as pretty average in every tool except speed, which is still just a 50 grade, so I think he's playing a little over his head in that regard. This guy's mostly a utility infielder with some speed upside. There's a chance he might eventually wander into his starting job and steal some bases, but I doubt there's really a ton of upside there. So once again, that's the technically number 10th prospect in the system, Miguel Giraldo. Let's move on back to the number 5 prospect, and it's one Ron mentioned earlier, Brian, Nate Pearson, one-time number 1 guy in this system, fallen a little bit due to injuries and performance issues, but still good, right?
Yeah, I mean, he could easily be the best player on this prospect list. By the end of this season, we could think that. Pearson's 25 now. We know the deal with him. Probably most people listening also know the deal with him. Injury concerns, control concerns. He is everything you want otherwise. He's a 6'6", 250, dominant right-handed starting pitcher. First rounder in 2017, whose profile just kept rising, and he has a huge fastball, huge slider. He projected to be one of the better strikeout pitchers in baseball once promoted, but yeah, since being promoted, he's pitched 33 innings and walked 7/9 while struggling to stay healthy. His most recent injury was an offseason hernia surgery, but the Jays say he's going to be ready for opening day, barring any spring training injuries, of course. And maybe as much as any prospect we'll discuss entering the season, this is boom or bust. Like, I mean, I could easily see in 3 years' time Pearson being one of the better young starters in baseball, and it's just as easy to see him getting hurt or struggling to find the strike zone and winding up in somebody's bullpen maybe down the road. Because I do think for Pearson, if it doesn't work out as a starter, I mean, he's kind of a no-brainer when it comes to late inning relief with the fastball slider combo that he does have. Control issues aren't as big of a problem there. So I like Pearson's major league future no matter what. Fantasy wise, I really want him to stick as a starter, and I really hope we see him, no matter what, I hope we see him healthy and in the major leagues all season.
Kind of reminds me of, oh, I'm just blanking on his name, the Houston Astros pitching prospect.
Forrest Whitley.
Whitley. I was going to say Forrest Whitaker, but I'm like, no, not that one.
No, he won his Oscar.
And it just, you know, if it doesn't pan out, it might just be that kind of thing where just...
Yeah,
it
just, that's a great comparison, because it's like another guy who had, or now, and honestly, Mackenzie Gore is looking like that. A guy who's like, this guy has 4+ pitches and he's a teenager. And you always think that's going to lead to success, but it doesn't with pitchers always.
But the upside's still there. So definitely an interesting name at number 5, Nate Pearson. Number 6 on this list is Otto Lopez, and that's O-T-T-O. Just Otto, as you would know it as a name, which just makes me think of Otto from The Simpsons.
Exactly what I thought.
Who says, my name is Otto, and I like to get blotto. So how drunk is this guy, Ron?
So Otto's one of the more intriguing guys in this system. He's a 2016 international signing. Smallish contact hitter. I believe his stats were like 5'10", 160. So you're supposedly not a ton of power here, but the thing about him is, you know, he's shown a little bit of pop. He's also not supposed to be too fast, but he did swipe 22 bases in 2021, put up nice slash lines. And he plays all over the place. You know, he plays all 3 outfield spots, plays a little bit in the infield. So he's pretty intriguing as far as when it comes to this team, because I feel like they can do a lot with him. And he could be somebody, if he continues to show the ability to hit double-digit homers, double-digit steals, he's going to have that multiple positional eligibility. He's going to have a nice slash line. He's a guy that is you might not pay a lot for, but if he gets an opportunity to hit in this lineup with some of these huge, these big bats that they have, he could end up being a little bit of a useful fantasy piece. He's proven it at every level. He's got plenty of seasoning in the minors. I think he's a guy that we'll probably see this season depending upon what the role is. If he's not traded in one of these deals that they're rumored to still be out there trying to make, but it just an overall solid guy to watch. And I'm going to be intrigued to see where he goes. He only got one at bat at the major league level last year. I think he starts out at AAA, but I think he gets a chance to contribute this season, and I'm kind of excited to see what he does. Kind of a sneaky little name here.
Could very easily double his major league at bats this season.
Hopefully he more than doubles his home run output, because if he does that, then he might be a little more interesting. But still, a profile that could lead to some fantasy success for sure. So there you go. Otto Lopez at number 6 rounds out this episode. A couple of interesting systems there. We already discussed we're covering the Orioles next week, so that'll be great. And then if you want to hear more Rockies and Blue Jays prospects, patreon.com/Boo2Inc. We would appreciate it. Anything else before we get out of here, guys?
I'm a little disappointed that we will not be discussing Angel Zerpa in today's bonus show.
Brian, we talked about this off air. We can't do that every episode.
What if he gets traded? Can we talk about him again?
You know what?
With his new team?
You get in touch with
Zerpa
and his representatives, and you make sure he gets traded to the Orioles. We'll talk about him next
week. All right, I'll see what I can do.
So there you go. We will catch you next time on the Dynasty Baseball Show.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.